Amen. I sang that song in my quiet time and I thought, well, Lord, this is a breakthrough. Because you live, I can face tomorrow. If this is not a time in this country where we don't need to be encouraged with words like that. Because he lives. I'm probably going to move away from my notes and I don't know what will happen this morning, but I know that God wants to encourage you, church. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And then I've got that other one I've been singing. It'll come to me just now. But he is our shelter, he's our refuge, he's our strength. The Lord wants to encourage us this morning. And I'm speaking about conquering the spirit of fear. He loves us. He spoke to us about his love for us. He wants us to be a victorious church. He wants you to know that he lives. And because he lives, tomorrow is a reality. Hallelujah. And even if I don't survive today, I still live. I live eternally. So I have no fear. Amen. But the enemy wants to rob you. He wants to give you fear. You know what the opposite is of fear? Faith. So if he can bring fear, if he can plant fear in your life, he's going to rob you. He's going to plant a seed that is going to bear a lack of faith. We need seeds of faith planted in our lives, and that's what this morning is about. We live in an age of social media. We are bombarded with information. There's so much information around, we don't know what to do with all of it. The world has become small. Something happens on the other side of the world in America, and we hear about it instantaneously. It happens here, and we know about it. There's fires down in the Western Cape again. There's floods all over the place. The wind blows. We hear about it. The information age it's wonderful. It's wonderful to know stuff, but it's horrible. We know more than what any generation before us has known. Did you know that, church? You are more informed than any generation before you. And let me tell you, the generation of tomorrow will be more informed than what we are. But the challenge of this is this, that in amongst all of this deluge of information, there's a whole lot of bad news. The enemy likes to use this information. We can use it for spiritual purposes, for the benefit of the kingdom, but the enemy is going to use it to fulfill his purpose. And his purpose is to strike fear into your heart. And we cannot allow that to take place. We cannot allow that to take place. We hear about America. We hear about Donald Trump and the president of North Korea. And what are they talking about? They're threatening each other with nuclear war. They can wipe out the entire human population because of some stupid man's ego. Really? We need to stand against that in the name of Jesus. Then we hear of floods. And then we hear of this. And then we hear of, we see pictures of the mark, you know, the chip. They're a reality, and it can strike fear into our spirits. We can be afraid of that, and then anything can happen. We hear of this, you hear of this country, and the problems happening in this country, and fear can be struck into your heart. I see the WhatsApps that get sent by our congregation, by you, and sometimes the basis, the very root of those WhatsApps is a spirit of fear. There was a WhatsApp that got sent out earlier on in this month. And I would assume mostly white people got it because the threat was on the 3rd of November, black people were going to turn against white people and wipe us out. That has got its root in the very pit of hell, and it's a lie. And that very morning, my brother Benji, a colored man, praise the Lord, and I'm dividing things on racial lines this morning, and I don't care. He sent me an encouragement about the fact that God will fight for us, not because of white people, but because he will fight against the spirit of fear. And I wrote and I said, it's time, it's fear mongering. I can tell you, let me take it to the black folk, okay? Right, and I'm trying not to be racist. You know me, you know my heart. I got a picture from somebody, I won't mention names, a WhatsApp picture of a man, a black man, standing with somebody else's head under their arm. It was a gruesome picture. I didn't need to see it. I didn't want to see it. I hate it. I didn't even want to mention it. But what it was being used was to stir up a fear. It was being used to stir up the spirit of xenophobia so that one black person can kill another black person because they come from a different nation. You know what's behind it? Not black people. The enemy. So please don't think I'm being racist this morning. Now, this thing crosses every generation and it crosses every race group. The enemy will use social media to strike fear into your heart. So tomorrow this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. And then Jesus is coming. So we better start to pray because we know the date and the hour and the time, don't we? No, we don't, because the Bible tells us nobody knows the day nor the hour when Jesus Christ is coming. Even that the enemy can use to strike fear into your heart. Did you know that? And then you got this WhatsApp, and it says, you know what? You will receive a blessing if you send this on to 10 people. Rubbish! Delete that rubbish. Where does the Bible say you must tell 10 people and then you will be blessed? What a load of hogwash, church. And what the enemy is relying on is the spirit of fear. Because if I don't send it on, I'm going to bring myself under a curse. And that's the spirit of fear in action. Are you with me this morning? There are so many causes of fear. But what has the word of God said to us? In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And church, I want to tell you this. This is what came into my heart. All of this information, all of this stuff we see. And there's lots of stuff we can be afraid of. You can be afraid of sickness. You can be afraid of... Oh, don't stand in front of me this morning. I'm getting too excited. Just lift up your guard. You can be afraid of anything. You can be afraid of what's going to happen in this nation. You can be afraid of going to work tomorrow. You can be afraid that you won't have enough money. You can be afraid of doing what God has called you to do because you might become a failure. Is this thing still feeding back? I'm shouting this morning. I ask the Lord, I want some fire this morning. And there will be fire in this house this morning. Because we're standing against the Spirit. I want to tell you, I read this. For God has not given, New King James Version, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and sound mind, a spirit of fear. And I thought about that thing, and I thought about it, and I said, hang on a second, we're dealing with a demon here. So I went to the old King James Version. You know the King James is one of the most accurate translations of the Word of God. I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. It's the truth, okay? I love using the New Living Translation because of the way it lays out the words, but it's not the most accurate. You need to test it. You need to test God's Word and make sure that the Word confirms the Word. So I went and read it in the Old King James Version. And let me, once I've unlocked my iPad and I've jumped away from my notes, but I don't care because I know the Holy Spirit will lead me this morning. It says this in the Old King James. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. Not a spirit of fear. In other words, I'm just fearful. The spirit of fear. I looked for a name. I couldn't find a name for it. But you know, you get the spirit of Python. It'll squeeze the very spiritual life out of you. And then the spirit of Jezebel. It's a controlling spirit. God has not given us the spirit of fear. It's named in the Word of God. It's a specific spirit. Yes, there is a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of anxiety. They're all linked together. But there is the spirit of fear. And when I start getting up those WhatsApps, and when I start watching the news, and fear starts coming, and anxiety starts coming, it's the spirit of fear that is at work. It has never been at work in society the way it is today. So church, what do? If we are dealing with a spirit, we need to deal with it in a spiritual manner. Amen. You can't deal with a spirit in a natural manner. You can't. We are spiritual beings. We are made of... look at me, I'm falling. Ooh, ek het te veel gedrink vanoggend, jong. Dronk in die gees. Amen. Are you getting this, church? We cannot stand and accept the spirit of fear. Now, I'm not saying all fear is it's a manifestation or you're possessed by the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is a spirit that comes and oppresses or comes against people. Some people, by submitting it, can open themselves to possession by a spirit of fear. There's people that live in fear their whole lives. And I'll go on and I'll speak to about. But the spirit of fear will rather come and oppress you. It'll come against you. You need to open a door for a spirit to come inside of you. Any spirit, you've got to open a door for it. Okay? But you don't. Even if the door is closed, they can still come and attack you and try and oppress you. Are you with me, church? All right, now we're dealing with spiritual things. That's why we had a powerful prayer meeting. You need to be awake this morning because the enemy, even right now, we've prepared the atmosphere, but he hates what I'm going to say this morning because we're dealing with spiritual things this morning. It's not God's plan. My first point this morning is that it is not God's plan for you to live under the influence or under the possession or under the oppression or under whatever it is of the spirit of fear or a spirit of fear, whatever you want to call it. It is not God's plan. That's why 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says what it does. But it goes on. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says this. The child is crying because I'm shouting. I'm sorry. And I'm not going to stop shouting. Isaiah 41 10 says this. Fear not. Amplified. I took it deliberately out of the Amplified. There is nothing to fear. For I am with you. Say, God is with me. Now say it louder like you're convinced. God is with me. Amen. It says, do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. Church, when you hear all of this news and when you get that WhatsApp message and you see some guy who looks very spiritual, shall I get racial again, dressed in a nice khaki top, I can tell you what that represents, and saying, "Jy weet, broers and sisters, as ons nie teen hierdie ding bid nie." That's a spirit of fear and manipulation. Church, yes, we have to come against those things. Yes, we need to pray for this country. Yes, we need to pray that it doesn't come into a place of civil war. There's a very real risk, but we can stand against that. Men and women of God, we as Christians need to realize, forget the fact that there's a threat of civil war. We are in a war. We're in a spiritual war, and we need to tear down the strongholds of the enemy. Are you with me, church? Yes, yes, let's praise the Lord. I'm sorry if I sound like I'm mocking it, but it's a spirit of manipulation, church. And it's there to stir up fear and to stir up hatred and to stir up the things that can cause civil war. And it comes from the pit of hell, even if it's brought in a Christian manner. Oh, this filter. We need to ask the Lord for a spirit of discernment. That we can discern what's of God and what's not. Because it sounds like it's of God. I can tell you now, if a man who we know and we trust, like Angus Buchan says, okay, now we need to pray. The church, we need to get, I will listen. But when a man that I don't know that lives on the other side of the world starts telling me, oh, but I got this prophecy, I need to test it. Are you with me? Come on, church, I'm trying to educate you this morning. So don't listen to everything you hear. Test the Spirit. And don't just forward everything on that you get. Listen to it. Read it. Yeah, let me pick a clap here. Because when you do that, you help that spirit of fear to proliferate itself. Wake up. Yeah, Pastor. And think of what you're forwarding on. Think of what you're saying. Send the good stuff on, okay, but not the rubbish. Are you with me? Have I now offended you? Well, I will if I have to. I don't care. Because my role is to be a good shepherd and to protect you and to help you to be protected by the Lord. So for all of us, no matter what race we are, we need to be wide awake. We need to turn our eyes to the Lord and say, what is the truth? Can I hear another amen? Finally, that's when, eh? Some commentators write that the words fear not appear in the Bible 365 times. It's once for every day. Another commentator says it actually appears more. I'm not going to go and count them, okay? But what I want you to know is if it appears 300 times or even 100 times in God's Word, it means that He doesn't want His people to fear. God is serious about His people walking out of the bondage of the shackles of fear. He wants you to be free. Say it with me. He wants me to be free. I'm going to be free. I refuse to bow down to the spirit of fear. I renounce that spirit this morning. I reject that spirit this morning. I am free from fear. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Bible goes on to say in John 10:10, the thief does not come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and that in abundance. Where does fear fit into that? The Bible does tell us about a good fear. The reverent fear of God. That's the only fear you need. The fear of offending God. But if your heart is there, if you don't want to offend God, trust me, you've got the Spirit in you. He's going to help you not to offend Him. Then you don't have to, because perfect love casts out all fear. Didn't we hear about that this morning? God loves us. So revere the Lord, honor Him, but don't be afraid of Him. But be afraid of doing something that would offend Him. Philippians 4 verse 6, there's names that are linked to fear, anxiety. I would like to say depression. Being afraid, fear. Philippians 4 verse 6 to 7, we prayed often, be anxious for everything. Come on, where's my cell phone? I didn't even bring it. Let me open my cell phone and find something I can be anxious about. Listen, you can go and listen to the news today at lunchtime. You can go and watch it. You want to get anxious, go and watch it. Amen. These days I don't even bother. I switch it off. Sick and tired of the enemy's lies. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication. That's heavy prayer. Why are you not at the prayer meeting? No, I'd rather send my WhatsApp message and spread a bit of anxiety. Come, do something spiritual. Come pray. Break that spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come, I didn't hear a big amen there. Come on, church. Let your requests be made known to God. That speaks about praying. And the peace of God. Where does fear start? It starts here, and then goes and lodges itself. Yeah, in your mind and in your heart. When it comes into your heart, guess what? What the heart is full of, the mouth will bubble over with. Do you know this government of ours? Where are we going to? What hope is? Did you hear they robbed those people? Did you hear about those people that got killed? You're another five farmers. I'm not mocking it. I'm not mocking. This is a reality. We face these challenges in our country. But when you let that thing start controlling you, but I'm not praising God. I'm not looking to God. I'm not saying, but God knows. God sees. God will judge. To be absent from this world is to be present with the Lord, isn't it? We need to start speaking words of faith. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that I still breathe. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and every WhatsApp message, and every news message, and everything you've read or heard or seen, the things that you're afraid of, will guard what? Your heart first, and then your mind in Christ. Oh, that was Einachavias. But that's how serious I am this morning. I don't care. It will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can I hear a bigger amen? Amen? Because the enemy wants to come and sow a seed of fear in your heart. And he wants to come and put it in your mind and make your mind full of it so it can sink down here. Pastor Peter always used to say, if you can deceive your, I can't remember now, your mind, he will deceive your heart. If you can blind your mind, he will deceive your heart. I think that's what he used to say. If you can blind your mind, fear will blind your mind and will plant a seed of deception in your heart. Go and read the word and see if I'm not right. It's true. I need to do something at the end of the service. Please remind me, Shirley. We got two doctors sitting here. We don't only have doctor. We've got doctor, and doctor, Frank at the back there. And I need to invite Frank forward at the end of the service because we need to acknowledge. He's been acknowledged, and I believe it's from the Lord. But please don't let me forget, Shirley. I'm saying that because you're right here in front. I'm asking Dr. Shirley to remind me about Dr. Professor Frank. All right. Sorry, let me get back on track. So the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. The Bible is clear. It's not God's intention that we will bow down and be flattened by the spirit of fear. Amen. Luke 10 verse 19 says this. If we are dealing with a spirit, Luke 10, 19, which is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, it says, you will stand on snakes and scorpions. And yes, there were snakes and scorpions around in Jesus' time. But what was he talking about? He was talking about demonic spirits. You will stand on snakes and scorpions, and they will by no means harm you. I've given you authority over all of the power of the enemy. All of the power of the enemy. So there's no demon. Even the demon of fear, the spirit of fear, it cannot harm us. There's only one time when a demon can harm you, church. That's when you allow it to. sadly, when we bow down to that stupid spirit of fear, maybe when we stupidly bow down to the spirit of fear, we open the door for it to be able to harm us. Or the spirit of Jezebel, or the spirit of Python, or the spirit of whatever it is we'd like to be afraid of. Amen? The spirit of depression. The spirit of poverty. I can name them one after the other. Amen. Het jy 'n vraagie? Sorry, I can't hear you. Dis demone. They've fallen angels. Okay. When God, when Satan raised himself up against God, I hope I'm answering your question. When Satan tried to raise him up against God, a third of the angels were on Satan's side, Lucifer's side. God cast them out of heaven. All right? Two-thirds of the angels remain in heaven. Those angels that fell are fallen angels. They are Satan's angels now. Alas demona. They call demons. One of those demons is the spirit of fear. The other one is Jezebel. I'm not going to teach about that now. It's a controlling spirit. And the other one is Python. We hear about it a lot. It constricts. What does a Python do? It squeezes the life out of stuff. Verstaan jy? But I will, as jy meer vrae het, ek sal met jou gesels. Okay, maybe I must visit the youth. And if any of the rest of you got questions, maybe we need to do a teaching and come in the week and we'll give you a teacher on that. Would you like that? Can I see a show of hands who'd like it? Come on, church. There must be a lot of questions. We'll put something like that together, won't we, Conan? I'm just teasing him. Before you go on holiday. Now, maybe early next year we'll do something like that. How's that? But if anybody's got questions about, and you know, I've realized this, I'm going to take a minute or two, that there's a lot of ignorance in the church about spiritual things. That is why in the cell groups, we are doing discipleship. Now, some of you might say, well, I've been serving the Lord for 30 years. How boring is discipleship? Why should I go through in the cell group? Because there are people who don't understand all the precepts and concepts of God's word. Amen. So that's why we need to address it. That's why you need to be in a cell group, just by the way. For those of you that are not in cell groups. All right. So God has given us authority over every demon. Amen. Let's get this fire going. We need to take back the victory that is ours. It starts in our hearts and minds. And it's time to say, no! Come on, say it with me. No! Say it again. No! To the spirit of fear. What is fear? This was a bit of a long message, and I'm taking my time, but I'm going to get it done in time, because I still want to pray for you. What is fear? Let's just talk about fear quickly. Fear, if you go and look in the dictionary, has got a noun. So what is it? And then there's a verb. There's a doing word, the manifestation of fear, okay? But the noun, what is fear? It's an unpleasant emotion. Who likes fear? None of us. Caused by the threat of danger. Well, some of us are fear junkies. People like the adrenaline, okay? Caused by the threat of danger or of pain or of harm. Other words for it are terror, fright, fearfulness, alarm, panic, agitation, trepidation, dread, consternation, dismay, distress, and I'd like to say anxiety. Anxiety is caused because of fear. And then the verb, the doing word, the way it manifests, is to be afraid of. Who's afraid of something? Who's afraid of the dark? Hey? It took me many years. I mean, as an adult, I finally got over my fear of the dark. It's a fear of something as likely to be dangerous, painful, or harmful. It's to be scared of something, to be apprehensive of, or to dread. Who's afraid of going to work tomorrow? I had to deal with that for years and years and years and years. Sunday afternoon comes, I'm not a happy chappy. Fear of going back to work because of what goes on at work. To go in terror of, to be terrified of something, to be terrified by something. That is what the enemy wants to do when you get those WhatsApp messages and WhatsApp, Facebook and this and that and the next thing. To cower before. You know what comes from the word cower? Coward. Okay, we can't cower before fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We need. It says to tremble before, to cringe from, to shrink from, to flinch from. Fear is a natural survival instinct that God has given us. It's a survival instinct. We get the good fear is a fight or flight reaction. So if you see a lion and there's a lion chasing you, what do? You turn around and rub it out. That I learned when I was in grade 1. The lion chases you, you run. If you're David, you fight. You take your sling and you chow him. Amen. And when he jumps on you, you stick your, I don't know, shepherd, spear, knife, whatever, into his heart. I don't know. That's a good one. It's a survival instinct. But when fear starts to control you, it becomes damaging and dangerous. And you cannot live under the spirit of fear. I want to tell you, South Africa, and you're all, most of you are South Africans, and those of you who live in South Africa, you cannot live under the spirit of fear. No matter what you hear, no matter how real it is, no matter how it manifests, you cannot allow yourselves to be brought under the spirit of fear. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Or can I hear an enough for those of you who've been living under the spirit of fear? Because I know it's real. That's why I'm preaching this message this morning. What does fear do to us? It impacts our physical health. It weakens our, I read this up. This was not off of a Christian website. Weakens our immune system. It can cause cardiovascular damage. In other words, our heart, the stuff that goes into your heart. Gastrointestinal problems such as ulcers and irritable bowel syndrome. I'm sure I don't battle with that because of fear. It can cause decreased fertility for those young people here that still want to have 16 children. It can lead to accelerated aging. Forget those creams you put on lady at night. Just deal with the spirit of fear and you'll stop getting wrinkles. Hey? In memory, who's forgetful? Fear can impair the formation of long-term memories and cause damage to certain parts of the brain. This is medical stuff. Brain processing and reactivity. Fear can interrupt processes in our brains that allow us to regulate emotions, read nonverbal cues, and other information presented to us. And listen to this. It will interfere with us being able to think before acting and act ethically. Sometimes people act unethically because they are afraid. Isn't that true? Let me give you a stupid example. If somebody kidnaps somebody that's precious to you, should you give money to them? No. But will you give money to them? Why? Because you're scared they'll be harmed. Fear. Right. It will manipulate you. Fear is a manipulator. And then your spiritual health. You know, as I read the Christian write-up on fear, one thing kept coming up. Fear will interfere with your God-given destiny. Who doesn't want to achieve their God-given destiny? I'm too afraid to do what God's called me to do. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if, you know why? Because you're saying, I. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With God, nothing is impossible. You can do everything God has called you to do. Don't walk with a spirit of fear. Fear frustrates faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear will put your faith out like pouring water over a fire. Fear will paralyze your faith if you were allowed to. I will not allow myself to have no faith. How do we deal with it? And this is the crux of the message. How do we deal? You know, church, I can carry on for weeks teaching you on fear. It's hard. I battle to put it into one message. I may still send out some blogs or something. The first thing is we must set ourselves to seek the Lord. Have you got your Bibles here? Open your Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. For those of you that don't have your Bibles here, I think you should start bringing your Bible to church. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. One of the other things that we've seen lately while you're opening, in social media, which is also there to drive fear into the hearts of people, is fake news. Who's heard of this thing called fake news? Who can tell of an example of fake news that we've heard? Okay, Josh can lift his hand up. KPMG. No, that report. It was false. Okay, give me another example. Oh, you often hear that Robert Mugabe's dead. But that's not going to strike fear into your heart. Maybe that'll strike joy. I don't know. But but fake news is there to deceive people. Who's the father of all deception and all lies? The devil. He will use fake news to strike fear in your heart. Okay? And then they will take, like we've heard recently about that that whole SARS investigation, and there was this report, and it wasn't factually true, and people lost their jobs, and all sorts of stuff happened. Lies. Okay? That can be linked to the spirit of deception and the spirit of fear. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. And it happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea. I can just picture it. WhatsApp came out. Ding! A great multitude is coming against you tomorrow morning. You need to be afraid. Are you with me, church? I can picture it in modern day. So Jehoshaphat got his modern day WhatsApp message back there. It was carried by a dove in a piece of... I'm just joking. All right. And they said, a great multitude is coming to you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and now from Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. And Jehoshaphat feared. There was the spirit of fear at work. Jehoshaphat was a man of God. He was a king of God's special people. He should have known God would bless him, but he feared. But Jehoshaphat did the right thing because he was started to fear and then he started to react in the correct manner. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 3, the second half and verse 4. But Jehoshaphat knew how to deal with fear and set himself to seek the Lord. Okay, but Jehoshaphat knew how to deal with fear. Those were my words. Okay, so Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast through all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. What happened when Jehoshaphat feared? He sought the Lord. He got the people to seek the Lord. Church, I want to encourage you, seek the Lord. Where can you do it? You can do it in your own quiet time. You can do it in your car. You can do it when you read that WhatsApp message or see that television message. You can also come here on a Monday night and seek the Lord. Come on, church. Why would you want to live in fear when you can be part of the solution rather than part of the problem? Part of the problem of this nation is a prayerless church. We need to deal with the spirit of fear spiritually. Amen. Not sit on our beds and entertain ourselves and go and read those things and let the fear build and the anxiety build. Come on. I'm not saying that isn't my message. It's the Holy Spirit prompting me this morning, church. Sure. Jehoshaphat didn't send out another WhatsApp message saying, oh, please pray because tomorrow the end is nigh. No, he called the people together. I wonder what would happen if I called a prayer meeting tomorrow night. How many of you would come? Sorry, I'm just saying. Jehoshaphat called these people together. He said, come, we must fast and pray. And the people fasted and prayed. And God honored the response. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says this, verse 14 to 15. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah. You know what that talks to me? Great Christian heritage, or shall I say Jewish heritage. A Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, all you Christian heritage, all you inhabitants of Krugersdorp and South Africa, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. Amen. I don't care where the threat comes from. It's time we started to realize that we must not be afraid of the great multitude and the great problems we face, which are very, very real. We must turn our face to the Lord and seek His face. And God says, do not be afraid. I will fight for you. Hallelujah. Yes, let's give the Lord praise. So the first thing we do when we are faced with the spirit of fear is we turn to God. Immediately. You go to the doctor, he gives you bad news, straight to the Lord. I remember one day I was given a retrenchment letter. The first thing I did, I went into my office. In those days I still had an office. Nowadays I'm privileged, I've got an office again. Praise the Lord. But I went into my office, it wasn't big, and I closed the door and I went to the Lord and said, Lord, you know. It wasn't long and I got a far better job. Because God knows. The second thing we do is we start to praise God. We start to praise God. We know what happened in the story of Jehoshaphat. God said, I will fight for you. They went and they stood and they took him. They stood their position and they started to praise God. And as they praised God, what happened? the enemy turned against itself and destroyed itself. When you start to praise God, fear will be destroyed. Your problems will go away. And God will give you victory. Psalm 149 tells us about the power of praise and God's word. In Psalm 149, verse 69, it says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword," that's the word of God, "it's two-edged in their hand, to execute what? Vengeance! Vengeance against the nations, and punishment against the people." We pick up God's word, we start to praise God, and you know what happens? God starts moving in the spiritual realm. He sends his angels, he starts to war against those demons, and he executes vengeance. The enemy is not our problem. God deals with him. "To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of irons, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all these saints." Just say this: "This honor have all the saints." I'm a saint. If you praise God, if you spend time in his word, you call on him in your time of fear, God will deal with the enemy, the spirit of fear. The third thing we do is we position ourselves with 2020 vision. Where do we find 2020 vision in the Bible? Pastor Pat always used to tell us. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Have you still got your hands in the Bible in 2 Chronicles 20:20? It says this in the second half. "Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will prosper.'" 2020 vision says, I have faith. I believe in God. So when I hear the threat, when I hear that somebody wants to kill me, when I hear that the economy is going to fall down, I come and I establish myself with 2020 vision, and I believe in God, and God establishes me. And a thousand may fall, where there's one that comes against us, 1,000 will fall. Where there are two of us, 10,000. We prayed about it this morning. I just want to extrapolate that. Where there are three, 100,000 will fall. When there are four, 100,000 times 10, 1,000,000 will fall. Where there are five, 10,000,000 will fall. Where there are six, 100,000,000 will fall. Do you get it? There are hordes of demons. It takes six of us and 100,000,000 demons fall. Can I hear an amen? Okay, that's my maths. All right? We prayed it. We don't know. But if I were to just extrapolate it, that guy, that's the authority we've got. We need to position ourselves in 2020 vision and stand our ground. It's time to say, "I refuse to accept the spirit of fear. I position myself for victory." Say that. "I position myself for victory." Come on, church. "I position myself for victory." Ek is amper klaar. Amper klaar. Okay. I've only got about five more pages. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 17 says this: "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for your Lord is with you." Ephesians 6 verse 10 says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We position ourselves in the strength of the Lord, not in our own strength. It's not by might nor by power. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were severely threatened. They got a WhatsApp message: "If you don't worship the king, you are going to be punished." And the king said, "If you don't worship me," they stood in front of him. He was intimidating them. Can you imagine the king? And you're just a little exile. And he says, "Listen, listen, you little nothings, you little worms. If you don't worship me, if you don't bow before me, I'm going to sort you. I'm going to throw you in the fire. Jylle gaan braai vleis word." Amen? Have you ever had your hand over fire? Have you ever felt how hot it is? You don't want to become braai vleis, I can promise you that. You know what they said? Daniel 3:15. He threatened them this way. He said, "But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And who is the how arrogant was he? "Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Right there and then they stood the ground. He pushed their buttons a little bit too hard. And they said this in Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, O you great king who sees us as little worms, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us. You see how positively they spoke. From your hand, O King. But if not, listen you, if not, you may think we are women, but if not, if he chooses not to deliver us, we will still let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They would stand their ground. They stood in their faith. Why? Paul knew why. He wrote this, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To die is gain. Church, once we understand that reality, what fear is there that we can face? If I can understand that to live in Christ, he's with me, he's my helper, he will help me. But even if somebody comes into my home and kills me, even if a deadly disease comes upon me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's better. Doesn't that wipe out the spirit of fear? You oppose him with God's word. Why should we submit ourselves to a spirit of fear and intimidation? The fourth thing we must do in church, this is about these fake news and the false testimonies. We listen to the truth. Someone said, those who have fear cannot believe that which is true. Or they believe the wrong thing. It's necessary that they discover the truth. For truth is the foundation for faith. Lies is the foundation for fear. Truth is the foundation for faith. Say it with me. Truth is the foundation for faith. John 8:32, Jesus was speaking about the truth. How do you get free of sin? John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Pharisees saw the mighty signs and wonders that Jesus did, and they kept denying the truth. But those who chose to believe Jesus, believe in the word, believe in the prophets, you shall be established and you shall prosper. That's what King Jehoshaphat said. Jesus said, if you believe the truth, I will make you free. Matthew 4:24, news about him spread. The news, the good news, spread about him as far as Syria. And people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the source of your faith. When what we see and we hear starts striking fear and anxiety in our lives, it's time to look at the good news. Time to open God's word and start confessing it. Amen. I conclude with this. This explosive growth in fear that we're experiencing in this day and age was foretold by Jesus. In Luke 21, verse 25 to 28, he said this, listen, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Jesus said it was going to happen. He knew it was going to happen, so therefore we don't have to worry. And the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with great power and glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draws nigh. Instead of fainting in fear, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. That's the truth. And the truth will banish fear. How do we defeat the spirit of fear? We set ourselves to seek the Lord. We start to praise God with thankful hearts. We position ourselves with 20/20 vision. And we stand our ground. And we listen to the truth of God's word. The plan of the spirit of fear is to attack our minds with fear and worry until we are overwhelmed and useless. But in Christ Jesus, we have authority over every demon, not just the spirit of fear, every demon. And when we're attacked by those spirits of fear and intimidation or any other spiritual being, we need to take authority. I want you to say this with me. Stand with me, church. I want you to repeat with me this prayer. And I want you to be able to pray this prayer when you're not in church. Say this with me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take my every fearful thought captive. I rebuke the spirit of fear. I want you to say that properly and with conviction. I rebuke the spirit of fear. And of intimidation. That has been harassing me. You have no authority over my life. I plead the blood of Jesus over myself. And I stand On God's word.
In
2 Timothy 1 verse 7, which says this: For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. I declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated for one moment. I want to ask you, church, I've still got a few minutes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. If you have been suffering under a spirit of anxiety, if you've been feeling intimidated, or if you've been troubled by fear, let's deal with it now. I want you to come forward. I'm going to pray for you now. And if you don't come, I'm going to know you've been disobedient. Because I know God has been speaking. If you're that person, you come forward. Thank you. Yeah. We're going to bind that spirit. I want you to stay in the spirit, church. Don't turn around and look there. Don't look at your watch. We're now dealing with demons, okay? I'm not saying these people are demon-possessed. I'm saying we're dealing with the spirit of fear. We're dealing with a demon. And in fact, right now, the Lord rebuke every single demon that would try and manifest itself in this place. I need my leaders to come. And leaders, I want us to pray together. We're not going to split ourselves up. We're going to pray right now. Okay, ladies, just given this prophecy of Zechariah from Luke, from verse Luke 1:68. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has visited and redeemed His people. He's visiting us right now. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of His servant David, just as He promised through His holy prophets long ago. Now we get saved from our enemy. This morning we get saved from the enemy, the spirit of fear, and from all who hate us, the devil and every one of his hordes. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering the sacred covenant, the covenant He swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We are grafted in. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear. Hallelujah.